Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. Rats in the city. That's not news, but it is when you're talking about the popular Columbus City neighborhood of Clintonville, a bastion of middle-class families, churches, schools, restaurants, venerable pubs, and trendy gastropubs now, as well as a very large rose garden. Today, we're talking about Clintonville. WOSU Television will premiere its latest episode in its Emmy Award-winning documentary series on Sunday with Columbus Neighborhoods, Clintonville. For more information, go to WOSU.org. Oh, and we'll get to the rats later. If you have a good story about growing up in Clintonville, a story that defines for you what it means to live in Clintonville, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Joining us now to give us the nuts and bolts of what makes Clintonville, Clintonville, is historian, author, and columnist Ed Lentz. Welcome back, Ed.
Always a pleasure, Ann.
Its location straddling what is now High Street and between and sandwiched between Worthington and the University District, how has that affected its development? How is it? Is it a location thing?
Oh, I suppose it is to some extent, because essentially that was a rural farming area for a long time. It developed a small commercial node right where East North Broadway crosses High Street, which of course is the Columbus-Worthington Pike. And more importantly, in later times, the Columbus and Sandusky Turnpike, which linked essentially Columbus to Lake Erie, and so made what's now Route 23 a major road. And that's one reason why you're going to see little commercial establishments start popping up along that road with the passage of time and as the population grows. And by 1847, that had come to be the case in the middle of Clinton Township, still primarily rural. Little commercial district sort of emerges and calls itself Clintonville after the name of the township.
I was interested to read that a farmer, I'm not sure which family, but they actually built some structures along what we now know as High Street and offered them to people to come in and start businesses because they felt like they lived in such a remote location, they wanted to create some kind of community.
I think he was just trying to build himself a town. It certainly isn't unprecedented. I mean, Lucas Sullivan, when he laid out Franklinton in the middle of nowhere in 1797, was trying to induce people to come to his little Franklinton community. So he set up a whole street called Gift Street, where he gave away lots to people. So it's not that uncommon if you're trying to create a little village of your own to try to get some inducements, to get people to come to you, rather than the guy who lives 5 miles up the road in Worthington or something along that line, you know, that kind of thing.
We're talking about Clintonville today. My guest is Ed Lentz. He's an historian, author, and columnist. If you have a question or if you want to add a little tidbit of your own about Clintonville and what makes it Clintonville to you, give us a call, 614-292-8513. Now, most people who own a home in Clintonville won't see Clintonville mentioned on their property deeds. It first came from a post office, right?
It was a post office, and it was just never more really sort of an unincorporated little commercial area. And then it comes to be the name of that general neighborhood and that community with the passage of time. And, of course, with the rise of the electrified streetcar, which for quite a long period of time had its ending right where Clintonville sort of begins, right there at the north end of Old North Columbus, where Olentangy Park was located, that basically led to the growth of the southern end of what is now Clintonville. And then the rise of the automobile, you're going to see Clintonville in the 20th century, in the 20s in particular, start to develop one automobile suburb after another, sort of marching north from East North Broadway. You can sort of look at a plat map of that area and just see one subdivision after another. And those are automobile suburbs. If you drive down the side streets north in that part of the town, you're going to see not just streets, but the houses themselves have driveways and little garages behind them in each of those houses. That's a neighborhood that's designed for the automobile. Farther south, it's more of a streetcar suburb that then tries to make the transition to be an automobile suburb. Until by the time you get down to the end of the 1920s, you got that area that is now Clintonville pretty densely settled, and it's at that point that it's annexed to the city and becomes part of the city of Columbus. So that's how it evolves.
I lived, I owned a home on Crestview, mm-hmm. and they called it a starter home. It was a starter home subdivision. They called it a dollhouse in the ad, you know, two bedrooms, one bath, that sort of thing. And it had that little garage in the back, which was still in really good shape. And I was lucky enough to buy the home from the original owner, the people who had the house built. How stable? We've talked about lots of neighborhoods over the years. What is it that the South Side, Franklinton, downtown, the Short North, and others, compared to those, Clintonville has always appeared more stable? I know it's had its ups and downs, but what are the roots to that apparent stability?
Well, part of it is that Clintonville is a quintessential area that constantly is renewing itself. As families move in and then the kids get a little older, some of the folks are going to stay around even when they're empty nesters because they like the house they're in. But in any case, that neighborhood does continue to attract a lot of folks who just like its proximity to downtown. You're only about 5-6 miles out, and it's easy to connect no matter where you work generally with that part of town. And it's an area that has a lot of pleasant streets where people generally have a good sense of keeping their property up. In that sense, it's classic kind of neighborhood that we see that kind of renewal. And it's kind of neat in its own way. Now, I think a lot of people are attracted to Clintonville as well because it's not really cookie-cutter subdivisions. The thing that you need to remember is that Clintonville comes in at a time. It's only after World War II, really, that we begin to get the subdivisions where lots of the houses sort of look alike, one right after the other. But in the earlier period, you bought a lot, and then you either hired an architect or you went to the Sears and Roebuck catalog and bought a house from Sears and Roebuck or whatever. So you have a wide variety of architectural styles and interior layouts and so on. You even have some lustron metal houses floating around up in that part of town as well. So basically, all the developer was really doing was putting in the streets, putting in the sewer pipe, putting in the lights, and then sell you a lot. When I lived in Clintonville, and I did for a number of years, when I first moved in, I talked to the fellow who lived next door to me who was in his 80s, and he explained to me that the house he was living in, he had built himself. It cost him $1,500 when he built it in the late 1920s when he returned and got married after riding after Pancho Villa in 1916. And, you know, I was sort of like, I'm talking to this guy who rode against Villa. Whatever. But that gives you an idea about how that area developed up there. That was an area up around the Park of Roses where I was living at the time.
Lewis in Clintonville, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Lewis.
I am, and Mr. Lentz, it's a pleasure to listen to you. And I read every article I can get my hands on that you write. I just find it your style is just perfect for me. But
well, thank you.
Yeah, I grew up on Crestview too, and the age, as far as the recorder's concerned, is old. And it, I think it was 1895 or something like that when it was built.
Okay.
But the, I spent the entire last half of last century in Clintonville. I'm still there today. And it's getting close and closer and closer to 70 years now. And seen a lot of changes. Three lumber yards that I know of came and went. Had at least three bowling alleys. Those all came and went. Just things have changed. And the open-mindedness has kind of came and went, too.
What do you mean by that?
Without a polarization, you know, with all this political stuff.
Oh, well.
It's one group against another.
That's everywhere.
Yeah, it was a shame, you know, to see that kind of stupidity develop. I hate to use that word, but it sure fits. Lost my train. Oh, yeah. Of course, in my era, when I was young, we had a problem with field mice because it wasn't that long before I was born. There were orchards and great, you know, vineyards and brickyards and all kinds of things in there that of course, have gone. And so with all those fields, when 71 came in, there were a lot of cornfields and other farms, land was removed. Mm-hmm. So the field mice took them a little while to, and they chewed holes in everything. They were really, really difficult. They could flatten themselves out and go underneath a quarter of an inch. So all those chew marks are still left. And so anyway, we got rid of those. And I had relatives all throughout. I'll try to really make this short, but I can't do it. I had relatives from all over. I had relatives in the South End and the West End and, along Long Street even, and we did see rats in those areas, but in the 70s, almost 70 years, mm-hmm. I've never seen one in Claytonville. Now, there's evidence there.
Right.
The chew marks of the mice.
Oh, okay. All righty. Well, Lewis, thanks for your call.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thanks a lot. We'll get to that rat issue in a little while. Thanks to Lewis for that call. Ed Lentz, when I first moved to Clintonville in 1991, it was mostly dry. There were a few bars. How did that become entrenched like that for so long?
Oh, I think it was just community attitudes with mm-hmm. regard to that sort of thing. You know, Clintonville emerges with most of its commercial establishments down along the high street corridor. And again, like most automobile and even some streetcar suburbs, the side streets do not have commercial enterprises on them. Not like you're going to find down closer to the core city in the Short North or German Village mm-hmm. or Franklinton. You don't have that up in the Clintonville area. Now, Clintonville's not unique that way. You can find the same thing out about the 5 to 6 mile ring, just about in most directions around the city. And a lot of those areas tended to be strongholds of prohibition. And then after prohibition, when local option was still in place, a lot of those folks just simply looked down their nose at any institution or establishment that was selling alcoholic beverages, and they wanted to keep them at an arm's length, I guess is the way we would want to put it, and were generally successful in doing that for significant periods of time. And that's the general explanation of it.
When Clintonville was sort of first being settled, people actually were building summer homes out in Clintonville.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's different. Clintonville is a big area. If you look about it on the map and see how it runs from North Columbus on the south, clear up, North Beachwald on the north, it's actually a number of separate little communities of one kind or another that come into being at different times. So you have a commercial node down there around North Columbus and Olentangy Park. You're going to have another nexus up around East North Broadway and North High. There's going to be another one up around Morse, where Morse Road hits 23. Mm-hmm. The thing to keep in mind that often is overlooked with this is we don't not only have automobiles and streetcars, you also have the interurban, which is a 90-mile-an-hour electric train, that runs north toward Delaware.
Wow.
And you're at places where the interurban stops, and there was a stop on the interurban, stop 8 on the interurban was where Morse Road hits Route 23, you're going to have some commercial development around those stops of the interurban line as well. And that's partly the way you can sort of predict how things are going to evolve. There are, as you mentioned, some summer homes that are going to be built up in that part of the world. Beachwald was originally the summer home of part of the Jeffrey family.
Okay.
And then later they moved elsewhere, sold it off to a developer who then developed it as a fashionable residential community. In the same sense, you're going to find some other folks building summer homes as well up in that part of town. In this, it also becomes something of a country club district, because what a lot of people may not be aware of is where the Ohio School for the Blind and the Ohio School for the Deaf are located today near Morrison High and so on, was originally the Elks Country Club.
Oh, okay.
And it was a full-size golf course up there, and it wasn't the only golf course up in that part of town as well. And also, then as now, people like to live near golf courses, or at least some people do, that sort of thing, and that helps develop that part of that area as well.
Ah, the Tonier days. Okay, my guest is Ed Lentz, historian, author, columnist. He's going to stay with us as we continue our conversation about Clintonville. We'll hear from Brian in Grandview. He says he grew up in Clintonville. We want to hear from him and others. If you have a question or comment, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. We want to remind folks that WOSU Television will premiere its latest episode in its Emmy Award-winning documentary series on Sunday, January 26, with Columbus Neighborhoods, Clintonville. For more information, go to WOSU.org. We'll be right back. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. Welcome back to All Sides with Ann Fisher. We're talking about Clintonville today. WOSU-TV will premiere its latest in its Emmy Award-winning documentary series on Sunday, January 26th with Columbus Neighborhoods, Clintonville. For more information, go to WOSU.org. If you have a good story about growing up in Clintonville, a story that defines for you what it means to live in Clintonville, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Still with us, historian, author, and columnist Ed Lentz. Joining us now, Bill Owens. Bill is the executive director of the Clintonville Beechwald Community Resource Center. Welcome to the show, Bill.
Thank you, Ann.
Let's talk about the demographics of Clintonville for just a minute, that the demographics that actually drive the mission of the Clintonville Beechwald Community Resource Center.
Right, yeah. So we're a settlement house, so our focus is geographic, and that geographic area being Clintonville is our primary area for our services. So agency started in 1971, and the demographics have changed some since then. But what's really interesting, what was kind of discussed with Ed, was how much people stay in the neighborhood. And so for instance, for 43214, which is the northern zip code of Clintonville, it has the highest percentage of people age 60 and over of any zip code in Franklin County. So that really goes to how people stay in the neighborhood. They may have grown up there as children and got a home there and stayed there and raised their own children there. And for those folks that raise their children there, I mean, their friends are there, their social networks are there. You've really got everything you need right there. And so... We have a lot of services that are geared towards older folks. The thing that is surprising for a lot of folks that don't live in our neighborhood is the number of people that are low income or living in poverty in Clintonville. If you drive from 71 down to High Street on North Broadway, it's all mansions along that part of the neighborhood. And so you just get this impression that there's all just very wealthy people living there. And it's really a combination of people of all walks of life.
Speaking of people who have lived there a long time and stayed, joining us as well, Dr. Paul Knapp. He's now retired of Knapp Veterinary Hospital in Clintonville. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Ann.
So did you grow up in Clintonville?
Yes.
Okay.
I was born on Piedmont.
Okay. And you've lived in different places in Clintonville.
I lived on Piedmont, and I was raised on Walhalla. And I went into the service, came back, bought a house on Arden, and then now we're on Schreyer. So I say I've just been up and down Indianola, and that's all I've done.
Yeah, and Walhalla, of course, it's Walhalla Ravine,
right.
And
right.
That's one of the distinctions about Clintonville as well, are the ravines. At Lent, some people built their summer homes on the ravines as well, right?
Yes, that's right. I mean, it's one of those features of the Clintonville area. A lot of people just think of Central Ohio as being nothing but flat, and they tend to either not be aware of or just not notice of. There's a lot of ravines, especially on leading down to the river and so on along that High Street corridor. And so you have one ravine after another sort of marching up toward Worthington. And those are very, very nice places to live.
Dr. Knapp, Knapp Veterinary Hospital in Clintonville is now operated by the third generation of Knapps. You're the second.
Right.
Right.
My dad started.
On the website, it says that Knapp Veterinary Hospital was one of the first veterinary practices in Columbus devoted to the care and treatment of pet animals. And I was going to ask you before I read that, did it start out as a farm animal hospital? But no.
No. My father was a professor at Ohio State, and for a different set of circumstances, he decided it was time that they split. And so he looked around for an area to establish a practice. A friend of the family's said this little spot of land up on Oakland Park near the railroad tracks, and we've been there ever since.
And
it was
a
all
community
pet animals.
Yeah. There were lots of pets in the community too,
right,
I would imagine.
Right, very many.
and
the community has been very generous and very supportive, and the mission really hasn't changed.
Brian in Grandview, you're on the air. You grew up in Clintonville.
Yes. Good morning.
Good morning.
I graduated from Whetstone High School in 73, but grew up in the Clintonville area. My grandmother and grandfather, actually had his office. He was a geologist in the building that was above a pharmacy at the corner of Dunedin and High Street. And my great, and they lived at 154 Erie Road. My great-grandparents at the same time lived at 186 Erie Road. So it was kind of like a community where everybody, it was a front porch community at the time. Kids would play out in the street. Families would sit out on the front porch. My grandmother could recite everybody's name that lived in every house.
You know, that front porch thing, we haven't brought that up yet, but that Ed Lentz, I mean, what do the front porches bring to the equation?
Well, you know, and in essence, what you're getting into is a porch-based society begins to emerge in our country about a little over more than 100 years ago. In some parts of the country, even earlier than that. But in general, in the old city, you tended to build right up to the curb. And if you had any yard at all, it was behind the house. Take a look at some places like the Short North German Village, you'll find that sort of thing. It's only beginning with the advent in the Victorian period, first with the electrified streetcar and then with the automobile, that we begin facing more toward the street. House setbacks are farther back from the street, and that permits the emergence of this front porch society that you begin to see as early as the 1880s to the 1890s. You can see some of that down in element parts of Victorian and Italian Village, you know, when you get out to the 2 to 3 mile ring. And then especially once you get into the automobile suburbs, you're designing basically for a little bit slower paced society. Remember, Model Ts don't go that fast, kind of thing. And basically people are looking more toward the street and spending more time on those porches. Back to life.
Do you remember that, Dr. Knapp?
Oh, absolutely. Well, a little story. My mother grew up in Lebanon, Ohio, and my grandparents had a side porch and a swing. And we had to have a house with a porch where we could put the swing. My wife said that was absolutely one of the first priorities.
Brian in Grandview, thank you. Thanks a lot for your call. We appreciate it. Carol, in Clintonville, you're on the air. You want to talk about an old, something that's gone now, but was once pretty prominent. Welcome.
Hello, this is Carol. I've lived in Old Beechwald for 48 years.
Uh-huh.
And I wonder if your guest could speak to the fact that I believe this was the site of the first Columbus Zoo. And I'll hang up.
Okay, thanks, Carol. Ed Lentz?
The answer to that is yes, part of the first Columbus Zoo. Columbus's zoo really comes together finally, as you may know, in Delaware County near the O'Shaughnessy Dam. It actually is composed of several pieces of the puzzle, but one of the primary ones was a zoo that existed for some time right there near the intersection of High Street and Morse Road in the Beechwald area. And that will eventually be consolidated into what will emerge as the main zoo located farther north. In fact, if you go back to the first real zoo we have in the city, it was this lonely set of reindeer who were living out in Franklin Park because they had the bright idea of having real reindeer for Santa's sleigh one year. And so then after Christmas, somebody looked around and said, now what do we do with 8 reindeer, right? So they ended
sounds
up
sounds like the
out
bunnies
of
at Easter time.
Yeah, there you go. Like, and the zoo's story and how it comes into being is lots of pieces to the puzzle, but that's where one of the major ones is that one that was up there near Morse Road.
I wanted to go back to something we were talking earlier about the golf course communities that popped up there at the time and don't exist anymore. But there was another sort of country clubbish aspect to Clintonville. That was the Clintonville Women's Club. Where did that come from? Ed Lentz, do you know?
Well, it comes out of the 1920s with the women's movement, and basically it's a social as well as civic organization, and it's certainly that something like the Clintonville Women's Club is certainly not unique to Clintonville. You're going to find similar organizations. When America is much more of a nation of joiners than is the case with many other countries, and we still are to this day in terms of voluntary organizations, is the way we get things done, whether it's political or social or economic. We form groups of like-minded people to do stuff. And the Clintonville Women's Club is exactly one of those kinds of organizations.
But it actually, Jim Owens, has a structure to it, and it's part of the community. The membership ebbs and flows, but it is a very strong part of the community. Jim?
Yeah.
It's still active today.
Yeah.
It's very functioning and has younger women involved. So, and they have regular activities. They have and they've opened it up even to having concerts there on a regular basis. I think there's a jazz concert there pretty often. And they interact with some of the other organizations in the neighborhood, like Civitan and the Kiwanis and the Rotary and those groups. There's certainly volunteerism is alive and well in Clintonville, and we see that every day at our agency.
They also host the Old North High Club, from which I am very, very a proud member of. But back in the days when North High was functioning as a school, and we now meet at the Women's Club, and it's like going home.
Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful place, too.
Yes, yes.
It's absolutely beautiful. You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. We're talking about Clintonville. We'd like to hear from our listeners. If you have a story about Clintonville, if you grew up there, tell us what Clintonville means to you, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. We have an email from Jay. He asks, how does Beachwald figure into the equation? I grew up on East Royal Forest, and my parents did not call it Clintonville. It sounds like Beachwald is considered part of Clintonville now. My mom grew up in German Village, but remembered riding the streetcars and going to the park in Clintonville. So Beachwald and Clintonville, they were separate for a while. Ed, how did they get together?
Well, in essence, Beachwald is a residential subdivision development, which in its time, when it was coming into being, Clintonville was sort of moving up toward that area, and so eventually moves past it as well, and that neighborhood sort of becomes surrounded by Greater Clintonville, and therefore then becomes considered to be part of the overall Clintonville area. I mean, you can take a look at other parts of Clintonville as well that once had a separate identity. That area that had been mentioned along East North Broadway with some rather magnificent houses was originally developed as a separate residential development in the 1880s and 1890s. It was called Evanston. Okay, it never really gets much bigger than that East North Broadway corridor and eventually becomes subsumed in what we today call Clintonville. That area along East North Broadway was served by its own little independent train station, which was located right where the railroad passes through up there. And today there's a bridge of takes East North Broadway under the railroad tracks. But in the early days, it was a train station there. And you could leave your fashionable home, go down to the train station, and take the train into Columbus, you know, that sort of thing. That was a whole little world unto itself, which eventually becomes part of Greater Clintonville.
Jim in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome to the show. Hi, Jim.
Oh, would this be Tim?
Oh, sorry. I have Jim down there, but Tim, I'll take
okay.
Tim, too.
Yes. Well, I grew up in Clintonville in the 50s. I came from a family of 11 on East North Broadway, right across from the Methodist Church. And my memories are, you know, as we got together as groups, you would ask personally the people, you know, what playground you went to, what drugstore soda fountain you went to, and what movie theater you went to. And the commonality seemed to be Olympic Pool. Everyone
along Indianola
or Whetstone Recreation Center too. But it was a nice. It was a good place. I graduated from North High School. There was a little rivalry between Whetstone and North, but it was always pretty friendly.
Dr. Knapp just kind of, you know, shrugged.
There was some pretty good rivalry between the other City League schools too.
Yes. Yes. But I think because we were in Clintonville, I remember North Broadway used to host North Choir and Whetstone's Choir, and there was always a big, you know, we need to beat.
Talk about the politics, Tim. You wanted to...
Oh, yeah. It was a very Republican area. We were Democrats, but it was never... I never felt put upon. You know, it was more like back the wrong horse. But very friendly place.
Bill Owens, what about the politics today? What do we know about it?
Do we have politics?
Yes, right. Politics are everywhere.
Yeah, they are. And it's a way, Tim. You know, if you look at the definition of what is politics, it's the resolution of conflict. And you know, you get two people under one tree and there's going to be some conflict. So there is conflict in our neighborhood. What a lot of people will look at as that, oh my gosh, these people can't get along, is that I think that people are expressing their concerns about their neighborhood and how they want things to go, which is a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
So when I see like conflict over a turn lane or conflict over whatever issue might come along.
Oh, that's right, the turn lane.
Yeah, I did mention that. But that is showing the vibrance of our community, that people really care about what goes on here.
Dr. Knapp, has it always been like that?
Yes. Yes. I began to wonder if there was ever any other news in the booster other than the turn lane.
But as far as the vibrancy of the community coming from people caring and speaking their mind.
They definitely speak their mind.
Mm-hmm.
And it's probably a pretty good thing at times to know the group that you're with and not necessarily bring up the politics of it unless... Mm-hmm. You feel you're on pretty solid footing. You can find yourself in a deep hole pretty quick.
Because you're never quite sure. We have an email from Mary Ann just to wrap up this segment. She goes, I remember in the 1960s a McDonald's forerunner at North High and Cook. This is where the bad boys from Whetstone High and Bishop Watterson used to rumble. Well, rumble may be an overstatement. They puffed out their chests there anyway. So thank you, Mary Ann, for that memory. And we will continue our conversation about Clintonville. Once again, if you have a memory, have something you want to talk about regarding Clintonville, give us a call, 614-292-8513. WOSU Television will premiere its latest in its Emmy Award-winning series on Sunday with Columbus Neighborhoods Clintonville. For more information, go to WOSU.org. We'll be right back. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. Welcome back to All Sides with Ann Fisher. We're talking about Clintonville today. WOSU-TV will premiere the latest in its Emmy Award-winning series on Sunday with Columbus Neighborhoods, Clintonville. For more information, go to WOSU.org. We're talking with Ed Lentz, historian, author, and columnist, and also Dr. Paul Knapp. He's now retired and was the second generation of the Knapp Veterinary Hospital in Clintonville. And also with us, Bill Owens, executive director of the Clintonville Beachwald Resource Center. If you have a question or comment, want to share a memory, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. We have an email from Ann, no connection. She writes, my great uncle Pat Murnane of Columbus was a businessman and gambler who had connections with Grace Bakenstow. She ran a brothel on the current Graceland Shopping Center, thus the name Graceland Shopping Center. Does that ring a bell, Ed Lentz?
Yes, and I think there'll be some, we should clarify with that, that where Graceland Shopping Center is now had been the home of Pat Murnane and his girlfriend, Grace Bakenstow.
Okay.
But it was a horse farm.
Okay.
Up there. Pat's horse farm was located there. Pat was one of those larger-than-life figures involved in all kinds of illicit things.
Oh, okay. Larger-than-life in that way. Okay.
Yeah. And, his longtime acquaintance and paramour was Grace Bakenstow, and eventually when there's a shopping center goes into that site, it is named for her, Graceland Shopping Center. That's the short version of the story. There's some of that will be discussed in greater length, I think, in the documentary that's coming up.
Okay, good. Bill Owens, Clintonville did take a bit of a nosedive in the early 70s. Tell us, you know, is that just the recession driving that, or had it become less fashionable? What happened there?
Well, remember, we were getting places like in 72, Eastland Mall opened up, where it was always a comfortable 72 degrees is what they used to say. And so malls like Northland Mall that was started in around 64, I think was taking a lot of business away from the Clintonville neighborhood. So people were getting in their cars and they were going there. To say nothing of Graceland, which was just wall-to-wall cars. I remember in the 60s as a kid going there, and there were all these stores there. But I was talking with someone recently about how in the early 70s, one thing that really helped bring business back to Clintonville was Nancy's Restaurant. And Cindy King bought Nancy's Restaurant.
Right on High Street
there. Yeah, mm-hmm. And for our agency, it's an important establishment, as all the businesses are in our neighborhood. But that's where our staff meetings were held, was in Nancy's Restaurant in the 70s, when our agency was just in a little house on High Street. Back then, our food pantry was the bathroom, where the legend goes that the food was all stored in the bathtub. But our businesses in Clintonville are really pretty vibrant, and as we think about the history of the neighborhood and some of the neat things that we recall, you think of Nancy's Restaurant, you think of like the Flag Lady's Flag Store, you think of
Paul Knapp, you were talking about all the drugstores.
Well, there was Jimmy's, and then there was the one at the corner of Dunedin and High and Brevoort and High, and there was always that competition about who had the best sodas, and then Isley's, of course, then their ice cream. And there were a lot of things like that growing up that we remember fondly that aren't there now.
That aren't there now. But a lot still is there.
There are a lot of those older Beachwold Hardware is still there. In the southern part, what I'll call Clintonville, other people will call Old North Columbus, is like Shriners is still there. And the restaurants, you know, we were talking about the alcohol issue. You know, what has really helped us bring some nice restaurants to that area north of North Broadway is allowing there to be alcohol in some of these establishments. So you've got Mozart's taking over the old Beachwold Tavern area. You've got places popping up along Indianola, like the old Crest Tavern. You just absolutely cannot recognize the Crest Tavern from what it used to be.
Well, the Crest Tavern had its good days. When I lived on Crestview, it was a real fun place to go.
Oh, definitely.
Had a beautiful bar in there, and it was just a real warm, you know, you get burger and fries, and it was
just a great old-time bar.
And then it changed.
Yeah.
And then it changed again.
It changed again.
To this fancy gastropub.
Oh, my gosh, really fancy. And then you've got Growler Alley along Indianola now, where you can get these big pitchers of jugs of beer.
Studio 35.
Studio 35 is still alive and well.
Yes.
When I lived on Walhalla, of course, Studio 35 was right at the end of the street. And I can remember my parents, if I didn't get home from school right away, they wanted to be sure I didn't go to the theater, because at that time it was an art theater.
Okay.
And those weren't the shows
marks
I was supposed to see.
But that wasn't where Mary Poppins was.
No.
But Ed Lentz, you know, just to be able to talk about a lot of these places that are still there, is that unusual?
No, I think if you go into most of the older neighborhoods in our city, you're going to find institutions, shops of different kinds that have been around for a significant period of time. In that sense, it implies sort of the continuity of the community, that certain of these kinds of places stay around for a long time. Mike's Barbershop down there around, near Oakland Park and High, has been there at least 40 years that I'm aware of, maybe okay, more for all I know. And some of those kinds of institutions you're going to find across the city. It's only in places that see extraordinarily quick transitionist communities, and that's true of some of our 200 and some neighborhoods around the city, but you don't find that kind of continuity. If a community has a chance to put down some roots, stick around for a while, and has continuity of generations, you're going to have the same kind of continuity in businesses, shops, and organizations as well.
Email from Georgia. She said one set of my grandparents lived on Tibbet Road, just north of Crestview. My theory on Clintonville's stability, as well as its social and political character, rests on OSU. In a natural progression of upward mobility, those who are students and faculty move northward from the OSU area. As they mature, if they have been students who remain in Columbus, they join faculty and OSU employees who buy houses and move north as their income increases. Dr. Knapp, that's kind of, you know, your father came from OSU and
Clintonville was right
there.
The professors all tended to congregate. And the same thing goes with Chem Abstracts. So Clintonville provides a home for a lot of middle, upper middle, highly educated people. And that's just what the community has become.
But it's a mixed community. Bill Owens, you mentioned earlier that there's a lot of multifamily housing, mm-hmm. which, you know, brings both at different income levels.
A lot of doubles.
Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of doubles.
You would find doubles there. So we would also find those families that were blue collar that had lived there for a long time. And maybe their dad worked at Timken Roller Bearing,
right.
or one of the factories that aren't too far away from the Clintonville neighborhood.
Joe in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Joe.
Yes, ma'am.
You moved to Clintonville for the School of the Blind.
Yeah, 60 years ago, I helped move all the furniture from the old School for the Blind at Parsons in Maine to its current place on North High Street. I went, and then 2 years later, I went back and went to work. And worked there 40 years and 5 months and retired as a building maintenance superintendent.
Did you live in Clintonville?
Me and my wife lived in Clintonville all the time I worked there. We raised two kids, and they graduated from Whetstone High School in the early 70s.
Do you still live there?
Yeah, I live on East Beachwald now, okay. Or East Royal Forest, excuse me. I used to work part-time at the Peter Pan Nursery School, which was where the Huntington Bank is now. And the last collie dog they had there, I watched Dr. Paul Knapp put him to sleep, and I buried him.
Aww. So you know Dr. Knapp, then?
I do remember that incident, because I knew,
yeah.
Mary and that huge old house and her collies. She did love them.
This is from the Peter Pan?
Yeah, she owned the Peter Pan nursery.
Well, Joe, thank you so much for your call. We appreciate it. Want to get to a few more, but before we do have to, I've been teasing the rat issue out, and we should talk about what the rat problem is in Clintonville. It seems like such an unlikely place, but, you know, Bill Owens, tell us why this is happening, and it's yet another source of conflict.
Here's some of the theories I've heard. Okay. One of them is, you know, a lot of folks that, and in my experience, when I was born, and I lived on Acton Road. We moved further north and I grew up in the Northland neighborhood. When I went to Ohio State, I lived in the Ohio State neighborhood, and then I started working in Clintonville back in 95. But one interesting thing is you get folks that really like living around the university, but they don't want to live too close to the university, so they move up a little bit north, and there's some folks that are fairly progressive or hip or, you know, like look at the Clintonville Community Market as mm-hmm. an example, the co-op, that they'll do things like have compost piles. Well, if you have a compost pile and you're throwing food out there, that might be one thing that would attract rats and cause that problem. But Dr. Keller, who's on the Clintonville Area Commission, he's kind of our rat czar.
Chris Keller.
Yeah, mm-hmm. in Clintonville. I don't think he'll mind me saying that. And he's the guy that's really taken on this issue. And he's, you know, another great example of somebody in the neighborhood that feels passionate about our neighborhood and the people that live there and want to make sure that that we're doing okay. We had a mouse problem at CRC at one point. And then all of a sudden the mice disappeared. And then I found out from the exterminator, oh, well, that's because the rats chased the mice away. So if you have mice, you don't have rats. Is that... Right. That's how it works.
They'll take care of themselves.
Yeah. What? Oh, okay. That's where the mice went.
The rats are the aggressive ones.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So at least it'll get rid of your mice.
Well, we did get an email from someone who said, don't know if you'll get into the Clintonville rat problem, but the advice gives me a problem. They don't want us to feed birds or do the things that would attract wildlife to your yard. I toss bird seed out every day, have a bird bath, and put in a big scrub pile of yard waste and Christmas trees just so I'll get critters. I would not like the city to enforce rules that would turn my yard into a sterile environment. So, there you go.
Yeah. Well, you know, and so there's some wildlife we want in our yards and some wildlife we don't.
Oh, boy. Email from Sally. She says, how I miss Clintonville. Lived there for over 30 years. My children were born when I lived there, and my daughter recently said she still considers our old house as home. We had wonderful neighbors and friends there. Our house was built in the early 1920s, still had only one bathroom, which was upstairs, and had real wood woodwork. lathe and plaster walls and a gravity furnace, no air conditioning. Did you live in my house, Sally? She goes on to say, by the way, the Clintonville Women's Club, the ladies built it with their own money. No bank would lend them money. I joined a year ago after I moved away from Clintonville. Thanks for that. From Robert in Canton, a particularly fond memory of Clintonville, both during my childhood and while I was a student at Ohio State, is the White Castle north of Hudson Street. Always a busy place, and I just looked for it on Google Maps, and it appears it's gone.
Yeah.
It is gone. It is gone. It's an empty lot now.
The original building, they moved out of town, though. Originally, they moved it out to the zoo, and now I guess they moved it somewhere else. Yeah, somewhere in Ohio.
Well, let's see. Wallace from Delaware, you're on the air now, and that's one of your memories is the White Castle.
Yeah, did you say Wallace?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's me. Well, this whole program, obviously, is great nostalgia for me. I grew up as of 1936, when I was 2.5 years old. My parents moved from New York State, 326 Tibber Road, of course, Crestview School, and two different callers have mentioned Isley's and the White Castle just a moment ago. Those were almost the epicenters of our social activity, and when we were about 10, 12 years old, we used to take bags of the White Castle hamburgers and ice cream and Cokes or milkshakes from Isley's and go up to Walhalla and have a feast. And that was great. And, of course, and Dr. Knapp's father was my parents' and my dog's veterinarian. He probably remembers Dr. Bradley also. So anyway, yes, it's great hearing about Clintonville. We lived overseas for 33 years, and I remember when I came back in the early 90s, I used to walk and drive through Clintonville, show my granddaughters around where the old Front Porch Society reigned.
Huh? All right, Wallace, thanks for your call.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. This is a lovely, lovely program.
Thank you for listening. Oh, thank you,
bye,
Wallace.
Now.
Thanks. And real quick, Bob in Columbus, you're on the air. Hi, Bob.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
I'm calling about, I went to North High School in Crestview, and Paul Knapp was gracious enough to let me look over his shoulders during our test we had, in math and English and stuff like that.
Why don't we leave those kind of things alone?
Well, I feel comfortable, So, Bob, you went to school with Dr. Knapp.
Yeah, well, I've known him for a long time. Okay. I went to the high school reunion there a while back, and he's too busy to talk to me. But anyway, we go way, way back.
Okay.
And the other thing is, at one time, I had a beagle. I had a foot problem. So I took it over to Paul Knapp's veterinarian hospital, and it was wall-to-wall people. You couldn't get in.
Mm-hmm.
I was standing around you, and next thing, Paul came through the door, and he says, Bob McClure, special appointment, Bob McClure, and you got me right in there.
Okay, it's nice to know somebody. Bob, thanks for your call.
Okay, and also we drag raced on High Street, and we also Walhalla fast.
Oh, good, all the dirt's coming out.
Okay, all right, thank you.
All right, thanks, Bob. Well, it sounds like it was a wonderful place to grow up in back in the day. It's still a wonderful
place
to live. Ed Lentz, thanks for joining us today to give us some historical backdropping for the conversation.
It's always fun to talk about a place where I used to live.
Exactly. I agree. Ed Lentz, he's a historian, author, and columnist. And also Bill Owens, executive director of the Clintonville Beachwald Resource Center. Thanks for joining us as well.
Thanks for having me.
And gosh, Dr. Paul Knapp, there's so much more to talk about.
It's been a lot of fun. It's fun reminiscing.
Dr. Paul Knapp, he's now retired and was the second generation of owners and operators at the Knapp Veterinary Hospital in Clintonville. Remember the WSU television series, neighborhood series, continues on Sunday with the Clintonville episode. So check WOSU.org for more information on that. Thanks so much for listening. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.